This priest I know, the summer before his diaconate ordination, that last step before you're ordained a priest, he decided he was going to hike the Camino, which the Camino de Santiago is one of the most ancient of pilgrimage trails in the world. There are the big three in the history of Christianity. These places of pilgrimage that people would travel hundreds and hundreds of miles by on foot. Jerusalem, Rome, and the other one is Santiago in Spain, which is where St. James is buried. And so he decided he's going to hike the Camino de Santiago, and he was going to do the whole thing as well, the full trail, which starts up in those mountains between Spain and France, and it goes the whole length of Spain, because Santiago is right in the northwest corner of Spain. And this is a pilgrimage which, it goes back 1,000 years and was especially popular in the Middle Ages. But in the last number of decades, the number of people going on it has exploded. Last year, there were over 500,000 people who made this pilgrimage, this walking the trail of the Camino. And nowadays, the people who go, some go for religious reasons, for reasons of conversion, and some go for all sorts of other reasons as well, all sorts of different motivations. But this priest, back when he was a seminarian, he decided he was going to do the Camino, and like most things for him, he was going to go all in. So he did all this research, making sure he had just the right gear, because you could only really carry what you're going to have on your back. And he planned out the whole ways in which his days would be split up, because to do the whole 500 miles takes over a month, close to about 40 days. And he had all planned out how he was going to pray through the day, all of that. And he did. He started it off in his whole first week of hiking the Camino, and he did it all alone, even though there's tons of people who were doing it, and he was bumping into all the time with the massive number who were on the Camino. But every little church that they would pass by, he'd duck in, even for a moment to pray. He would seek out daily mass, even when it was really inconvenient. And he would make a point every day of trying to make and making his holy hour. It was about a week into the Camino, and he stopped by this Benedictine monastery to go to confession. And he began his confession, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I hate everyone around me now. I hate everyone right now." He said it was this beautiful moment of humble grace where he recognized that he had become so annoyed, more than annoyed, he had come to the point where he was just despising nearly everyone else, because hardly anyone who was doing this Camino alongside him was doing it for any sort of religious reason. But most people, he said, you know, they were just going and taking just tons of pictures along the way, and in the evenings they'd spend it posting on their Instagram, or they were making their YouTube videos, and it was just more and more eating inside of him. Where in his confession, he's just like, "Father, I hate everyone right now." And he said it was a moment of grace because he recognized, he said, the absolute ugliness, of his heart. The priest told him, he said, "I've been hearing confessions on the Camino for years and years and years. And there are only two kind of people. There are those who walk with God and know it, like yourself. And there are those who God is walking with them, and they do not yet know it. He received his penance, and he said he went out in the church, and he just wept because he had been so convinced and now convicted in his own self-righteousness. Something happens when you walk with others for, say, 500 miles, whether people you know or not, and I mean literally, when you go on a pilgrimage, especially one like that, something happens. Because the ugliness in people comes out. And how every pilgrimage is meant to be a reflection as well of every life. Something happens when you walk with people in your life, whether in a marriage, in a family, in a community. Something happens as you're walking together. The ugliness in which the heart that has pride in it, there is something so ugly of that within the heart, especially when compared with the immense beauty of what a humble heart is. Because a humble heart is one that reflects the heart of Jesus himself. And we hear that, okay, Jesus, he walks with everyone. And you hear that and you think, oh, that's quaint. Isn't that nice? And the impact of what that means, we can miss that. Jesus walks with everyone. And he walks with everyone not to leave us where we're at or just to walk aimlessly, but he walks with everyone that our hearts might be converted. Our hearts, which if we're honest with ourselves in humility, we recognize how easy it is for them to slip into being like the heart of the Pharisee, a heart that becomes filled with pride in this ugliness. And what it means that Jesus walks with us is that unlike us, he isn't repulsed by the ugliness of our hearts. He's not repulsed by it. Rather, he came and he entered into the world, into the ugliness of the world. And what it would mean for Jesus not to walk with us, do you know what that is? What life before Jesus being with us was, this world before grace. It's hell. Because the human heart is repulsed by the sin and the ugliness of other people's hearts. It's repulsed by it. And the only thing that gives us the grace to be able to love others and to be able to truly walk with them and forgive and everything, that is grace. That is having within ourselves what is within Jesus' own heart. With what is in his heart, what is that? The heart of Jesus is a heart that is filled with grace, which is the life of God. And when the centurion, you remember when he pierced the heart of Jesus after he had expired, what came forth, the blood and the water, that's the wellspring of all grace and all the sacraments. The life of God. What hell is, well, Jean-Paul Sartre, he described it as being, without grace, it is other people. Because we see the ugliness that's there. And one of the things this priest said is that as he was going in that first week, he noticed more and more how isolated he was becoming. How isolated he was becoming from even everyone else that he was staying with and walking with. Because hell is that in which I can recognize the ugliness in everyone else, but it blinds us to the ugliness within us. Jesus isn't repulsed by that, though. And he has entered into this world, and he's entered into our lives, and he walks with everyone, both the Pharisee and the tax collector. And what this priest experienced was a moment of grace, a moment in which he was able to recognize and be repulsed by the absolute ugliness that was within his own heart, that he could repent of that and be converted and his own heart transformed. He said that the most important moment of his entire month of the Camino, it was that moment in the confessional, because that had changed everything, and he said it changed the whole trajectory of his life after that. Because for the following weeks, he said he didn't do it perfectly, but he walked with the others, and he prayed, Jesus, help me to love them, not with the love in my own heart, but help me to love them with your heart. Help me to see them with your eyes. Help me to walk with them and be your presence to them. And he said what had happened in that, in all the believers and non-believers and even fallen away Catholics who he encountered, he said it was this incredible torrent of grace. This incredible torrent of grace which came out through that. And it was one which was so transformative in everything he said that came after that into his priesthood and beyond. Jesus, he walks with everyone. There are those, such as most of you, who you know that. Although even in the midst of that, we can become blinded. And so we come in the beginning of every Mass, and we recognize, as St. Augustine said, that the church is not a museum for saints, but it is a hospital for sinners. And the very first thing we do is, like the tax collector, we beat our chest and we say, Lord, have mercy on us, a sinner. Lord, we have sinned. It's not just some show, but it's recognizing the ugliness in our hearts, that we're sinners. But that's not all we are. We are also beloved by God, such that he comes to us and isn't repulsed by this stench in our hearts, but rather he walks with us. And what that does is it transforms our hearts. It convicts them so they can be converted and transformed, and so that our hearts might be like his, that they might be a reflection and an icon of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and that they might be transformed from being this thing which is ugly to being something that is the most beautiful and attractive thing, this source of healing, this source of salvation, and this source of all grace, the humble and the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, which is what our hearts, each and every one, is meant to become like, that all might be drawn to the source of salvation and the wellspring of all grace.